For 88.5 GPB Atlanta, I'm Ricky Bevington. This summer, we are taking your submissions of curious Atlanta names and telling you the stories on All Things Considered. The latest installment of our summer series, What's in a Name, is Bankhead. You have probably heard of the Bankhead neighborhood if you've driven around the west side of Atlanta, or if you are a fan of Atlanta hip-hop. But you might not know that Bankhead gets its name from a cross-country highway that runs right through the middle of the community. The Bankhead Highway was an early 20th century auto trail back in the earliest days of automobiles. It stretched through the Sun Belt states from Washington, D.C. to San Diego. The highway was named after Alabama Congressman John Hollis Bankhead, who advocated for roadways in the early 20th century. Atlantans living along the highway started calling their community Bankhead. In 1995, rappers and Bankhead natives Diamond and D-Rock immortalized Bankhead with their international hit song, The Bankhead Bounce. What's up, what's up? What's up with the Bankhead Bounce? The song came with a dance, famously performed by Michael Jackson at the 1995 MTV Music Awards. It was only a short 3 years later when, for unclear reasons, the Georgia Department of Transportation changed Bankhead Highway to Donald Lee Hollowell Parkway. Hollowell was a civil rights attorney best known for winning the landmark 1961 case to integrate the University of Georgia. Hollowell also defended Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. during the Albany Movement desegregation campaign in the early 60s.
In Albany, Georgia.
Donald Lee Hollowell was a tremendous figure in the civil rights movement. But as happens when people get used to calling something by a familiar name, many Atlantans still call the road Bankhead Highway. It is still the name of the neighborhood. The MARTA stop on Donald Lee Hollowell Parkway is still called Bankhead Station. I'm Ricky Bevington. Bankhead is today's What's in a Name, our summer series bringing you the stories behind curious Atlanta names during All Things Considered on 88.5 GPB Atlanta. Submit your interesting Atlanta name at gpb.org/name. Thank you for tuning in to Atlanta's NPR News Station, 88.5 GPB Atlanta. I'm Ricky Bevington, turning to local politics right now. Yesterday's primary runoff election saw many surprising results across the state. Perhaps the biggest was Secretary of State Brian Kemp solidly defeating Lieutenant Governor Casey Cagle, a longtime frontrunner in the Republican race for Georgia's governor. Joining me in the studio now is GPB Stephen Fowler, who's been covering Georgia's elections. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Ricky.
So let's start with the big news from last night. You were at Casey Cagle's Election Watch party. What did he say about his campaign and how it turned out?
Well, Cagle conceded the race early, less than 2 hours reminders through news coverage.
Stephen, there were other surprises in the elections yesterday as well. How did the lieutenant governor's race shake out? Do we have a winner?
Well, the lieutenant another governor. Female Democrat atop the ballot.
Speaking of Democratic women, both female nominees for the 6th and 7th Congressional District runoffs won last night. Why is this significant?
Well, the 6th Congressional District is no incumbent. Women have won more than 70% of the time, according to the Cook Political Report.
Thank you for leaving us with a statistic as well as analysis. Stephen Fowler, thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
And you can hear more of our political coverage on our website, gpbnews.org. Today, the city of Atlanta held its first sports championship victory parade since 1995, when the Braves won the World Series. Atlanta United won the... Atlanta's unique fan zeal was on display at today's parade. Thousands of soccer fans braving a chilly and rainy morning line a downtown Atlanta street waiting to celebrate victory. Pat Calvert pops up and down on his toes, craning his neck to peek above the crowd at the parade route. On top of his winter jacket, a necklace of large, colorful Christmas bulbs blinks on and off.
I'm wearing my swag from Atlanta United, scarf, shirt, decorative bulb, and a noise chain. Sounds like they're starting. Oh my God, you better get ready for this. It's going to be exciting.
That's the team manager, Darren Eels, with his family, throwing soccer balls to the crowd.
There's the mayor right there.
Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms. Everybody's in a convertible open top. It's slightly stopped raining. And then the moment everyone's been waiting for, the team. Players stand on an open-top bus, driving slowly so everyone can get a picture. The athletes look just as excited as the crowd, screaming and waving from the sidewalk. Some of the players hold up their phones to snap pictures of the sea of fans. Other team members hold young children. There are lots of young kids in the crowd below.
And we just won because we just scored 2 times.
5-year-old Olivia Ung got to come to the parade with her friends while their older siblings had to be in school. Attracting young soccer fans and players is a focus of the team. Elite players in middle and high school can train with Atlanta United Academy for a chance to be signed to an MLS team. 4 Georgians appear on the United's roster. But the team is global. International players hail from 9 nations in Africa, Europe, Latin, and South America. Watching the parade, Hala Modelmog, president and CEO of the Metro Atlanta Chamber of Commerce, says the diversity of the players is reflected in the fans.
They're young, they're old, they're people of color, they're people who've lived here forever, they're people who probably have been watching soccer and football for their entire lives and finally have their own team to cheer for, and what a team we have.
Having a team to cheer for may partially explain why so many people have embraced Atlanta United. Atlanta is often described as a city of transplants. When people move here, they're already fans of their home football, basketball, hockey, or baseball team. So when Atlanta United came along 2 years ago, it gave longtime transplants like Jason Rouse of Long Island a local sports identity.
It does make me feel like more of an Atlantan now that I'm a fan of the team, and Atlanta really supports their team, so the city comes out and it's great.
Winning championships also helps bring out fan support. Atlanta United's stellar record qualifies them for the prestigious CONCACAF Champions League, a soccer championship between the best teams from North and Central America and the Caribbean. They play Costa Rican club CS Herediano in February. For GPB News, I'm Ricky Bevington in Atlanta. I'm Ricky Bevington for Georgia Public Broadcasting. It is almost Halloween, so this week, All Things Considered is introducing you to some of Georgia's most memorable ghosts. We start in the southwest Georgia town of Americus. This is where a little girl and her mother are said to haunt the halls of the Windsor Hotel. The brand new Windsor Hotel in 1892 is the height of luxury for celebrities and politicians escaping cold northern winters. The red brick Victorian building features towers, balconies, elevators, and a 3-story atrium lobby. It is the only hotel in Georgia offering guests individualized silverware. Legend has it that one day in the early 1900s, a housekeeper named Emily May was arguing with her lover in the hotel's 3rd-floor hallway. As the couple's exchange grew heated, her young daughter Emma stood by helplessly, holding her mother's hand. In a fit of rage, Emily May's lover pushed her furiously into a nearby elevator. What he may not have realized, the elevator shaft was empty. Mother and daughter, still hand in hand, fell 3 stories to their deaths. Since that tragic day at the Windsor Hotel, guests and employees report feeling the presence of a little girl. Some hear a child's footsteps running down a 3rd-floor hallway. Guests also confess to seeing the fleeting reflection of a woman in a long black dress in a 3rd-floor mirror. Pots and pans fly off tables and counters. Lights and radios mysteriously turn on and off. Today, the Windsor Hotel embraces its spooky history with ghost tours to introduce guests to Emily May and Emma. If you go to the Windsor, you can also look for the spirit of a former doorman wandering the building, still welcoming guests to their stay. Tune in tomorrow for the story of a young Union soldier and a Georgia girl whose secret love may have led to their untimely deaths during the Civil War. I'm Ricky Bevington. Happy Halloween.